I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. And this was Virginia Governor Ralph Northam today on CBS's This Morning with Gail King.
And, you know, if you look at Virginia's history, we're now at the 400-year anniversary, just 90 miles from here in 1619, the first indentured servants from Africa landed on our shores in Old Point Comfort, what we call now Fort Monroe. And while
also known as slavery.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really? Indentured servants, not slaves. That got me thinking about some of the reporting the world's Rupa Shenoy has been doing, marking 400 years since slavery in the colonies began in Virginia. Rupa, thanks for being here. Did this come up in your reporting, the word choice of slave versus indentured servant?
Yeah, definitely. I talked to a lot of people about this. It's a major point of contention, and people are really aware of it as a controversy.
And lay out the arguments.
So just to start from the beginning, the roughly 40 people who ended up being the first enslaved people in the English colonies were from modern-day Angola.
And these people were sold.
Right. Portuguese traders bought them and chained them up in a boat for a long, terrifying journey.
And when they arrived in Virginia, were they immediately thought of as slaves or something else?
There were no written laws governing slavery at the time, and that's partially what's caused this debate. But they were traded, like property, for food and supplies. At Fort Monroe, the place officially recognized as where they arrived, this is what Park Ranger Aaron Firth told me.
While there may not be a specific statute, the fact that their freedom is taken and they're taken across an ocean and no choice of their own arrive here and they're not allowed to do whatever they want, I think it's a strong, compelling thing that there's a defense in that position because of British common law that they are enslaved.
Rupa, what does he mean because of British common law?
British common law was essentially based on established practice. So if something's been happening for a while, it's understood to be law. And he's saying that by treating these people as slaves, they were in fact slaves, even if in some cases they were called indentured servants.
So in other words, they became indentured servants for life?
Actually, no. That's another point of contention that some people use to say that they weren't slaves, because some of them were freed and allowed to build their own homesteads. This is Calvin Pearson. He lives in Hampton, Virginia, the city that Fort Monroe's in, so he's been steeped in this his whole life.
They were both, that not all of them were slaves and not all of them were indentured. We refer to some of those first Africans as non-contracted indentured servants because they were treated as indentured servants, but because they did not have an indenture contract, their freedom was up to the will of the plantation owners. So that's an ongoing discussion here in Virginia.
Were there white indentured servants?
Yes, actually, in the beginning and for a while afterward, most of the labor was done by white people who were often indentured for 4 or 5 years in return for the cost of their transport to the New World. They worked in fields alongside Africans, and in those first few decades, they actually rebelled together. And again, this is what some people use to support the argument that they were indentured, not enslaved.
So when was a legal distinction made between black and white servants?
Karen Sherry at the Library of Virginia explained this to me. In 1640, there was a court case involving two white indentured servants and one black person who collaborated to escape from their owner. The three were captured, and the two white men got a whipping and 4 years added to their indenture status.
John Punch, the black man, was given lifetime service. So that's the first time in which racial differences was codified in Virginia law.
Sherry says as tobacco took off as a crop, white people at the time realized that enslaved black labor was the way they could make the most money. So they started bringing them in and really increasing the number of Africans in the colony. And whites closed loopholes that would have allowed some freedom for the early Africans. They built a system of laws that laid the foundation for what we think of as the American system of slavery.
Because Virginia grew into the most politically and economically powerful colony of what would become the United States, so much of what happened in Virginia served as a model for the other British colonies in the Americas.
So if Ralph Northam isn't totally incorrect when he says that the first enslaved Africans were treated more like indentured servants in the beginning than they were later. Why do people react so strongly when those first Africans are called indentured servants?
Because of the modern context. Mike Guasco is a professor who studies the history of slavery at Davidson College in North Carolina. He says there's no evidence for calling the early Africans in the English colonies indentured servants. There were no contracts from the time that show that. So for him, it's telling when people assert that the first Africans were indentured.
It's revealing of a desire to imagine that the first African peoples that arrived in English colonies were not necessarily already consigned to a certain fate, that there was perhaps a moment in time when things could have perhaps gone differently, that there might have even been some sort of golden age.
Maybe it's some way for white people, certain white people, to feel less bad or maybe insulate themselves somehow from the guilt of American slavery. I don't know.
But for a lot of people, this isn't even something we need to talk about anymore.
Yeah.
Guasco and a lot of experts I talked to all said, yes, this was an argument, whether the first enslaved Africans were indentured or slaves. But now they feel there's a scholarly consensus that we should recognize them as enslaved Africans.
Roopa Shenoy, thanks very much for coming by to explain.
Thank you, Marco.